You are listening to Atlanta Real Estate Forum Radio, brought to you by M Relevance, because all of your marketing should be relevant. And now, here are today's hosts.
Good morning, and welcome back to the Atlanta Real Estate Forum Radio Show. I am your host, Todd Schnick, joined this morning by my friend and colleague, Carol Morgan. Good morning, Carol. How are you?
Good morning, Todd. I'm doing very well today.
Outstanding. Well, I understand you have an interesting conference coming down the road here, the ALI conference. Tell me all about that.
Yeah, that is the Association Leadership Institute. It's through the National Association of Home Builders, and I am going to speak on, I guess it's no surprise to you, but I'm speaking on social media, the state of social media, with my dear friend Chad Davis, who is the director of social media for NHB out of Washington.
Outstanding. Well, that sounds like it'll be a fun show. One of these days, you're going to have to tag the radio show along with you on one of these gigs.
That would be really fun.
It sure would. All right. Well, we have a great show today. First up on the show is Kristian Torgrimsson. She is the managing partner with Pursley Freeze Torgrimsson. Welcome to the show, Kristian.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, it's our pleasure. Thanks for carving out some time to join us. Kristian, before we get into a conversation, take a few seconds and tell us a little bit about you and your background.
I'm an attorney in Atlanta, obviously, and I've been practicing for about 16 years. Been in Atlanta for 20 plus years. Moved down here from the Washington, D.C. area. And I have a firm, Pursley Freeze Torgrimsson, that's local here in Midtown. And I have a husband, two children, and a very busy practice.
It's good to be busy. So tell us a little bit more about Pursley Freeze Torgrimsson.
Yes. We are a women-owned, women-run, women-managed team of attorneys and professionals. And we help navigate our clients through issues related to the ownership, leasing, development, and management of commercial real estate. And we represent property owners all across the state. And we are actually a brand new law firm. My partners and I came together January 1 of this year and brought together a couple of different practice areas. And I specialize in eminent domain law. And I've been practicing in that area for about 14 years, representing a whole host of property owners, business owners at every level of eminent domain procedure across the state.
But understand that the firm really specializes in property condemnation. What the heck is that? Help me understand what that is.
Yes. Condemnation is not the condemnation as a building is uninhabitable and you can no longer live in it. Instead, what condemnation eminent domain is when the government needs private property in order to complete a public project, such as building a road, a bridge, putting up a power line, building a school, that sort of thing. And I represent property owners and help them navigate through the web of procedures in order to maximize the compensation that's received that they're entitled to, and just help them deal with the procedures because it can be a little daunting.
That's really interesting. I bet that especially with the market downturn and now the market uptick, you've seen a little bit of everything. Do you have any specific examples of something that was just really interesting or caught even you off guard?
Yes, there have been a couple of very interesting projects that I've worked on recently. And one was the 14th Street Bridge replacement project that sort of held up Midtown and downtown Atlanta for several years recently. And it's now completed and it's great. It's a great traffic flow now, but it impacted numerous properties in and around that 14th Street Bridge on both sides of the downtown connector. And we represented a very large shopping center developer was one of the folks that we represented. And they had a wonderful shopping center that was primed for redevelopment to a multi-use office, retail, residential, mixed-use development. And the DOT came along with their project, which substantially impacted it, taking away most of the access to the shopping center. And as y'all probably know, being in real estate, that if you don't have access to a shopping center, there's not much you're going to be able to do with it, no matter what you decide to redevelop it into. And it took several driveways down to one on a side road that was residential. So we were able to negotiate with DOT and work with them to not only substantially increase the compensation that was paid because the property was so hurt by the project, we also were able to recapture, get back a driveway on 14th Street for them. So hopefully that property can be redeveloped into something more than what it is right now. into some sort of mixed-use development in the future.
Christian, I've owned property for almost 25 years, and I've never had any kind of a situation like this. But I get the feeling that this is a pretty common issue. Am I right or wrong?
It is actually very common. It happens quite a bit, and it's one of those things that folks don't anticipate. They don't anticipate it happening when they're buying or selling a piece of property. They don't anticipate it when they're leasing, signing a lease, or granting a lease to a tenant, for example, if you're a landlord. They just don't think it's going to occur to them. It's not something they plan for. But when it does happen, it really can turn things upside down. And so you want to try and be prepared for it as best you can. And the first advice I always give to folks that call me is don't panic. Try and learn as much information as you can about the project and what it's going to feel like during construction and what your property is going to look like after construction is done. And try and anticipate that as much as possible as you're evaluating and looking at what are the impacts and what are my damages going to be. And unfortunately, there are just some times that you do need to reach out to a practitioner who does this on a fairly regular basis to help advise you what your rights are, because it can be very tricky. The laws are very tricky in condemnation.
All right. We'll be back with Christian Torgerson after this short commercial break. Great news stories don't just happen. They are the result of cultivating relationships with the media. Public relations is a great way to add excitement to your marketing program, while also creating third-party credibility. With decades of experience of working with the media online and offline, the Marketing Relevance team is uniquely positioned to deliver your company's stories. Call us today at 770-383-3360 or visit marketingrelevance.com. All right, and we're back with Christian Torgerson, managing partner with Pursley Fries Torgerson.
Christian, earlier in the show, you were mentioning that your company is a woman-owned firm. Can you tell me, you know, what some of the challenges or what some of the, you know, good sides of being a woman-owned firm is, and how did that come to pass?
I think one of the primary benefits of being a woman-owned firm is we're very, very collaborative, and that was part of the idea behind creating the firm in the first place. My partner, Charles Pursley, and I, we joined with another firm owned by Stephanie Fries, and those are the three named partners. And Stephanie had a firm, she'd owned her own firm for quite some time, and she had been certified as a woman-owned, women-run, women-managed firm. And we decided to join forces and continue in that tradition because it not only captures certain clients who are looking to give business to minority and women run and owned businesses. It also just provides a very unique way of going about establishing a law firm and running a law firm. We're very unique in that sense. There aren't very many of us around. There are very few law firms that are owned and run by women. We like to do things that are definitely different. And I think, like I said, more collaborative. For instance, we have a wonderful benefit that we offer to our employees. We have an in-house nursery for folks that have small children and want to bring them to work. There's a nanny that they can utilize those services, and it really helps not only give a sense of comfort to the working parent, but also establishes loyalty on their part and doesn't make it so they've got to be out the door by a certain time to make daycare, and it adds a lot of stress. And the practice of law is stressful enough. So if we can create a sense of value and, you know, sort of a positive aspect of that work-life balance, we want to do that. And being a women-owned, women-run firm, we're able to do that for our folks.
Christian, a final wrap-up question around property condemnation. I have to assume that, as you said, it's a common scenario. I don't know if this is Hollywood and TV speaking or if this is somehow I'm aware of this, but I get the sense that if you don't get legal support and help in this process, it's almost a lost cause and a battle that you don't really can't win of the forces allied against you. It's got to be so critical to get legal counsel when you get a situation like that. And remind the audience of the first two or three steps they should take should they get that dreaded notice in the mail.
Well, Todd, I think I agree with you. There are certain situations where you do need legal counsel because the nature and the level and the scope of the taking is just so large. It is hard to deal with it. And you do need someone that has got the experience and has done this before and also knows the people on the other side, the people that are working for the governmental entity and the lawyers that are representing the governmental entity. And, you know, I have relationships with a lot of those folks, which I think helps in negotiations and resolving these matters. One of the first things I think you need to do is, in addition to not panicking, get as much information as you can. And I tell folks, don't stop operating your business. Don't stop owning your property. Let's get the information that we can. Let's talk to the governmental entity and figure out exactly what's going to occur. Let's get all the plans that we need to understand. And let's figure out what we can do and how we can maximize your compensation. There's very few instances in which you can stop a taking altogether and stop a project.
So your Clayton County situation is very different than the situation with the 14th Street Bridge. Can you elaborate on what your goals and objectives are in Clayton County with the apartment complex?
Yes. In that situation, we are trying to work with the Clayton County Board of Education. And we have worked with them and shown them that there are alternative sites out there that they could select for the project that they have on board right now, which is to build a new school. Other sites that don't involve displacing 400-plus apartment residents from this location, in many situations where these folks don't have the ability to move elsewhere. They rely upon this particular location because they live, work, send their children to other schools in this area, and so they need to be where they are right now. Another layer to it, which often isn't discussed, is, and I represent the owner of the apartment complex, is when there's a mortgage on the site, and if it's a full take of the property and the amount paid to the owner by the government is less than the mortgage, the owner is potentially still on the hook for the rest of the mortgage. And that can place property owners in a very difficult financial situation where they haven't been paid enough by the government, they've lost their property, and yet they still have a bill to pay every month through the mortgage. And that's serious problems. It is. And with you mentioned the downfall of the real estate market, that's one effect that I've seen occur a lot, is when what's being offered and paid for by the government is much less than the actual money that's owed on the property itself. And it causes real financial hardship on the owner. And that's one of the goals in this case. In addition to helping the residents stay where they are, it's also to help my client avoid being put in a difficult financial situation. Education's been very great about it. We've been talking with them quite a bit.
All right. Well, Christian, I hate to say it, but we're about out of time. Obviously, your firm is a lot more than just property condemnation. So where can people get in touch with you, and where can they learn more about Pursley Freeze Torgerson?
Yes. Our website is www.pftlegal.com, and our main telephone number is 404-876-4880.
Christian Torgerson, the managing partner with Pursley Freeze Torgerson. It was great to have you. Thanks so much for stopping by and joining us.
Thank you so much.
All right. The deal of the day is next, but stick around for our final guest, with our guest, Julie Edwards. We'll be right back.
Hey, Forrest, what time is it?
Well, Delaney, it's time for today's deal of the day.
All right, Carol, what have you got for us?
So I have a deal from the Providence Group that is good for all of their Atlanta communities. It's for home buyers. So if you're looking to buy now, you can get $2,500 in closing costs with the Providence Group's preferred lender.
$2,500, man.
That's $2,500.
Cash money.
And that's all their properties? Can you give us a random sampling of some of their communities?
Absolutely. So they have 15 Atlanta communities that range from condos to townhomes to single-family homes. And, of course, the pricing completely varies. They have got locations from Smyrna to Marietta, Vinings, Atlanta, Dunwoody, Alpharetta, Suwanee, Sandy Springs, Johns Creek, Roswell, and Milton.
Gee, I wish there were a couple of choices.
Yeah, I know.
Wow. So that really covers the waterfront.
Choices in communities and locations, but something for everyone, too.
Five different counties. Wow.
Holy smokes.
Mm-hmm. They're in five counties with all these different home plans. You know, all their plans feature really upscale interiors, including gourmet kitchens with granite countertops and stainless steel appliances.
I do love the product that the Providence Group puts out.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any time limit on this thing?
It's ongoing.
Wow.
Well, and the Providence Group, so not only is this deal ongoing, and they have fantastic home features, but they also have some fantastic amenities. Delaney, you want to tell us about some of the community amenities?
Sure. Several of the Providence Group's communities feature amenities, including pools, sidewalks, parks, playgrounds, so you can have lots of summer fun, fall fun, whatever time of year you want to have fun in the community, you can.
It's fun year-round is what you're saying.
Yes.
Outstanding. Girl, where can people get more information on this?
Well, I'm glad you asked. They can get more information at theprovidencegroup.com.
All right. Well, that wraps today's deal of the day. All right. We're back with our next guest. She is the chairperson for special service projects and charitable contributions with the Junior Service League of Woodstock. Welcome to the show, Julie Edwards.
Thank you for having me. I'm very happy to be here.
Yeah, it's our pleasure. Thank you for joining us. Julie, before we get into it, take a quick few seconds and tell us a little bit about you and your background.
Well, I moved here 7 years ago from California, and just a regular person, not knowing anybody here, and decided that I needed to get out and make friends and give back to my community. So I started looking through the magazines and the Yellow Pages to see where I could commit and give back, and I found the Junior Service League of Woodstock.
So tell us a little bit more about the Junior Service League of Woodstock.
Well, we're an organization of approximately 30 women that just have a heart for the community. Our community being Cherokee County. We give back in any way that we can through money, financial donations, service, material goods, food, things like that. We commit to the schools to help with shoe projects for families that are needy, can't provide shoes for their children each year. We work with senior citizens once a month, serving lunch, just getting in, playing bingo. But our heart is for the families and for the children of the community to do whatever we can to help them.
Boy, I got to tell you, when I'm familiar with the Junior Service League, and when you say you're just a regular person from California doing that kind of work, truly, I applaud you for that. Woodstock Tour of Homes, that's a big deal. That's coming up pretty soon, isn't it?
It is. It is a big deal. It is one of our major fundraisers, one of two for the season, and it's November 9th and 10th. We are in the beginning stages, so we are finding homes, finding homeowners that are willing to evacuate their home for the weekend and allow 2,000 to 3,000 women come through.
2,000 to 3,000?
Yes. Very excited. This has become an annual tradition for many families. Many generations will get together on that holiday weekend and tour the homes, have lunch. They have the whole weekend to do their tour, and it's anywhere from 4 to 8 homes professionally decorated.
4 to 8 homes.
Every year it kind of varies, so we're in the beginning stages of finding our homes this year.
That's really exciting. Tell us a little bit more about, you know, who it benefits and how that part of it works.
Well, we pick charities. We're at this point, we look for charities that are kind of flown under the radar. There's a little smaller, not as well known, have a greater need. Because we're a smaller organization compared to other junior leagues, we like to narrow it down where we can give more money to fewer organizations and make a bigger impact versus a little bit of money to many. So this year, we're still also looking for organizations we can donate to. It's, you know, nonprofits. It could be a mom and pop situation. It could be a national organization, but we are looking for organizations to donate to. All of our proceeds from the tour and all of our events go straight out to the organizations. Nothing's held back.
You know, I got to think, it's great for the organizations that you're donating the proceeds to. They're obvious beneficiaries of it. But I would think just, you know, the folks that are participating, the homeowners, the interior designers that are doing the decorating that you mentioned before. I mean, what else? What is the other spillover of good stuff that comes out of an event like this?
Spillover is also community awareness. It goes into the magazines. It goes into magazines, learn about us, learn about the different organizations. So a network is being formed. Not only do they have to go through us to find the organizations, but now they can reach out on their own, provide their own resources, their own employee projects, things like that. It builds a tighter community, a tighter knit operation, and gets more money out.
All right. We'll be back with Julie Edwards after this short commercial break.
When was the last time you browsed the web from your mobile phone? With more consumers than ever searching for your business on the go, it's important that you make a great first impression. Make sure your website is making the most of your mobile presence with content designed uniquely for smartphones and tablets. Get started with the team at Marketing Relevance today. call 770-383-3360 or visit marketingrelevance.com.
All right, and we're back with Julie Edwards with the Junior Service League of Woodstock.
So Julie, it sounds like the Junior Service League does a lot to serve the Woodstock community. What other types of events do you have coming up or do on an annual basis?
On an annual basis, we also have our golf tournament, and that is our second major fundraiser. And that kind of caters to the husbands, the home tour to the mom or the wives, and we have something for the husbands too. That is at Bradshaw Farms. That's already scheduled for next April.
Oh, that is a nice
golf.
I have played that course. That is a nice golf course.
We were there for the first time this year, and we were thrilled to be there, and it is a great course. So we do the same thing, just round up as many people. It doesn't just have to be men, but that is predominantly what it is, and round up as many people who just want to get out, have a great day of golf, and great lunch, and have fun. So that's what, you know, in all of this giving back, we like to have fun. We like to build a relationship, provide a memorable event, so you'll keep coming back.
Julie, part of your mile-long title talks about special service projects.
Yes.
What the heck is that? Give us a couple examples.
Those are some of the smaller events that we do, like Shoe Drive. We find three or four, maybe up to five Title I schools in Cherokee County. Title I being your population is a little lower income, so there's more services being given out. So we contact the schools. The counselors will provide us with maybe 20 names for each grade, like I mentioned earlier, the Shoe Drive. 20 names of children that aren't, you know, getting services or need a little extra help. So we go in, we measure the children's feet, and we go, all of us members go out and buy shoes. You might find Payless shoes on their buy one, get one deal. And so then in about 3 weeks, we go back to the school, we meet the children, we give them the shoes, they get a fresh pair of socks. Sometimes we see that they're wearing the same shoes that we gave them last year. And so that is some of the spilling over for us, because although I have not been to the school, I hear what happens and how it just touches not only the members, not only the children, but also the counselors and the administration at the schools. We serve lunch at St. Michael's Church. We work with Forever Fed. They do a Sunday apartment complex brunch. We go in. We don't provide anything other than labor and get out, mingle, meet the community, find out what the needs are.
So you said there were 30 members?
30 active members,
and you
yes.
have just 30 people doing all of this work.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive. How many hours does each member, you know, donate or give back to the community each month?
They are required to do 8 service hours with us a year. That will be kind of changing in this next season. We try to provide opportunities just through our organization for at least 3 a month, which doesn't sound like a lot, but when you factor in they have their own careers, family life, homework, that's a lot.
It does seem to be a lot. That's pretty impressive, though. You're getting a lot of work done, though.
Yeah.
A lot of great work for the community.
It really is. And, you are also out getting charitable contributions as well. Is that from individuals, businesses? Tell us a little bit about that.
That is finding organizations, finding ways, finding the need. So I am constantly scouring the community magazines, newspapers, looking for places to give, talking to friends. Give a Kid a Chance is a big event in our community where every year before school starts, they provide backpacks full of school supplies. And it just becomes a network within our community of nonprofit organizations. What can we do for you? What do you have going this month? We have some girls that would like to do something. And I just start getting out and talking through my church, through people I meet along the way, whatever I can do. Just searching and just being willing to spend the time and wanting to be involved.
Gosh, do you think she needs a little more passion about what she's doing with the Junior Service League?
I think she needs a little more passion. And she might need to just clone herself. That way she could do twice as much.
It's just really, I don't know what word to use to describe it, just to see the level of enthusiasm and passion that you have. It's like, you know, it's like, I want to join too, but I guess I'm not allowed.
Thank you.
That's
I appreciate
pretty,
that.
Pretty impressive. Well, one of our staff members is a member of the Junior Service League of Woodstock, and that's how we found out about all the
Laura.
Great work that they're doing.
Yes, she's great. Laura, I love her. And yes, she's set this up, and I'm so thankful.
Yeah. So how, if you're interested in joining and you live in Woodstock, how do you join the Junior Service League?
Well, anyone can join. You don't have to live in Cherokee County or in Woodstock, but our resources do go to the community, and they stay in the community. We have a website that is probably the quickest and easiest way to find us. It's jslwoodstock.org, just the letters JSL. We have an email address of jslwoodstock@yahoo.com. You'll find our Facebook page with the same name, JSL Woodstock. You shoot us an email. Get on the website, on the contact us. Let us know. We follow up with that every day, multiple times a day, and your name and information, whether it be need-based or you want to join, you want to find out more, you'll get passed to the right person. And we have a phone number of 770-592-3535 that is also checked every day. And one of us will be happy to give you a call or email, whatever works for you, and tell you more.
All right, Julia, I hate to say it, but we're out of time. Before we let you go, how can people get in touch with you? And one last time, what's the website for the Service League?
Website is jslwoodstock.org. The easiest way to contact me is at the email address of jslwoodstock@yahoo.com.
Julietta Words, the chairperson for the Special Service Projects and Charitable Contributions with the Junior Service League of Woodstock. Julie, it was great to have you. Thanks so much for stopping by and joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So that wraps this week's broadcast. Check us out by visiting AtlantaRealEstateForum.com or by subscribing to the show on iTunes. If you enjoyed today's broadcast, we'd sure appreciate a customer rating and review on iTunes. So on behalf of today's guests, Christian Torgerson, Julie Edwards, show producer Delaney Langston, my co-hosts Carol Morgan and Todd Youngblood, I am Todd Schnick. We'll see you next week on the Atlanta Real Estate Forum Radio Show.